Bibles, please, and turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We're going to read verses 8 through 11, and then we're going to skip some verses, and I'll catch you back up where we'll read from there. But let's read verses 8 through 11 together responsively. 2 Corinthians 4. Did I say 1 Corinthians? Whew. I think the heat's getting to what little brain I had left. All right. 2 Corinthians 4, verses 8 through 11. Let's read these responsively. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. Then we're going to read verses 15 through 18 together. I'll read verse 15, you join me on 16. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh us far more exceeding an eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. And let's pray. Father, we sure do love you. We thank you for a wonderful day. Pray that you give me the attention of your people. I know that it's warm. We'll have to think on purpose. We'll have to pay attention on purpose. Lord, I pray that my mind would be stayed on thee so that I might give your people what they need. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Do me a favor. Push that door just a little bit because I think I got folks out. Oh, wait, is that your two? Okay, never mind. We're good. I just didn't want to be bothering anybody up here. Not that I care a whole lot, but at least I could attempt it. Amen. There are times in life where it seems that it's one problem after another. Have you ever been there? It seems like it's one tragedy, one heartache, one burden, one problem, day after day. Sometimes phone call after phone call, sometimes moment by moment. There are times where they come in bunches. Someone once told me that when you're in the ministry, problems come in waves. They never told me that they were tsunamis. Bunch of liars. It's just been, and lately, it just seems like it's just been more and more. Now, in my experience in life, as far as just the 49 years I've been alive, then the tens and tens and tens of thousands of people that I've helped through problems, I've noticed something. And if you'll let me help you, maybe you're not in a problem right now, but I promise you, just wait a little while, it's coming. When we have problems, when we have tragedy, we have heartache, we've got burdens, we tend to get into a mindset that it's almost like, well, we're never going to get out of this. You get into this, it's like there's not going to be any end to the problem. Y'all know what I'm talking about? And may I say this, when the pressure's on, we wonder if we're ever going to get out from underneath the pressure. Can I tell you something? No problems forever. No problems forever. You say, well, what if the news is bad and it's cancer and that person's going to die? Well, if they're saved, no problems forever because they're going to eternity. And they're going to heaven. And guess what? Their problems are over and we're going to see them again someday. So no problem is forever. So just hang in there. We focus on the pressure instead of the release of the pressure. For several years when I was in Indiana, I would, 3 days a week, I would go over to one of the other assistant pastors' houses early in the morning, and we would work out. We did some weight training. We did a little bit of cardio, and then we would box 3 rounds at the end of a 30-minute workout. And we didn't do any headshots. It was just body shots, and we wore some vests so that it didn't hurt so bad. It was just for exercise. We weren't trying to kill each other. We really weren't. I mean, we were in it just to stay in shape a little bit. I'm in shape now, too. It's just a different kind of shape. but round is a shape, just so you know. There was times that, you know, I'd work out on the bench, and I'd be on my back working out with, you know, and at that time, I weighed about 155 pounds, 160 pounds, and I'd work out with about 130, 140 pounds. And I'd got up to where I could bench 230 pounds, which when you're benching more than your body weight, you're doing fairly good. Now, yeah. I wasn't a weightlifter. I wasn't a power lifter, but I was fairly strong. I remember the first time I put 200 pounds on that bar. And the other guy standing over me said, "It's okay, Brother Bush. You're going to feel like it's going to pin you." He said, "Don't fight it on the way down. Let it go all the way down." He said, "If you fight it on the way down, you're gonna lose all your strength to put it back up." He said, "Let gravity take it." He said, "You fight the gravity on the way up, not the way down." I said, "All right." Did you ever have 200 pounds on a bar and all of a sudden it's... And I remember grunting and groaning and pushing and pushing, and he's standing in my ear, "You can do it." I'm thinking, "I'm going to die." He said, "Quit focusing on the pressure. Push." And it took me a while, but I got that up. You know, there was some truth to what he said. You're so focused on that thing coming down that you're not focused on what you need to do to get it back up. That's where we're at in problems. I remember the first time I boxed. There's something about boxing. How many of you have ever boxed before? I mean, legitimately boxed, all right? One. You know what I'm talking about. The first time you box, after about a minute and a half, you think your arms are going to die because you're all tensed up. You're like this. Did you know you can't hold your arms like this, fully tensed, for very long? Those boxers, did you ever see them? And they're just... Their arms are as loose as a rubber band. And it takes a while before you can realize you can take a punch loose and they can hit your arms and it doesn't hurt. I mean, they can just beat the tar out of your arms and you don't feel anything. And your arms have to be loose. The only time you tense up is when you throw a punch. And if not, you're wore out before the round's over, and then 3 minutes is an eternity. Let me tell you. And you got to learn to relax and not worry about that punch coming in, because if you tense up each time that punch comes in, you're in trouble. Just let them hit you. It doesn't hurt that bad. And you learn that through experience. But if you focus on that thing coming at you, boy, you tense up, and you don't have any strength left to throw a punch to beat the snot out of the other guy. Now, I say that to say this. When we go through problems, we get the same way. We tense up, we tighten up, and then we're not able to get all the way through, and then we're so focused on that weight down on our chest, oh no, that we don't have the ability to put it back up. It got to the point where I'd take 200 pounds and just bring it down and just set it on my chest. Just sit there and play with it and say, okay, and push it up. It really doesn't weigh that much more than 150, 160 pounds. When it's sitting on your chest, you got plenty there to hold on to it with. Just sit there and drop it down. Let it rest there. Once I learned how to let it rest there, I was like, oh, this isn't so bad. I lost all my strength going, bring that thing down. Just let it sit, rest, to get your breath. Focus on what you got to do and push that thing back up. Now, I say that to say this. God tells us here in 2 Corinthians 4, that we can be troubled, but not distressed. That word distressed means panicked. Freaked out, modern terminology. God says we can be perplexed. That's the word confused. That's a state of being for some. but not in despair. That means hopeless. God says we can be persecuted, but not forsaken. That word forsaken means friendless. Did you ever go through a problem and you wonder if anybody else in the world really cared? You feel forsaken. You feel like nobody else can understand. Nobody cares about my problems. Everybody hates me. I'll go eat worms. You can go eat all the worms you want. I'm not eating worms anymore. God says we can be cast down, but not destroyed. You know, you can get thrown around a little bit, but it doesn't have to destroy you. God wants us to see that we don't need to faint or quit or lose hope or roll over and die when problems come. Can I tell you? It doesn't matter what your problem is. It does not have to destroy you. I don't care how bad it seems. It does not have to destroy you. You don't have to quit church over a problem. You don't have to quit a marriage over a problem. You don't have to give up just because it gets tough. Well, we wouldn't want you to do anything tough now, would we? Who was it? Brother Mike was telling me that Harvard University, the students are complaining about some of the testing, that the essays are so hard, and they're having to take off days of class because of the stress that the essays are giving them. Lord have mercy. Bunch of whiny babies. And they're petitioning Harvard University to get rid of it because the stress is so bad. What are they going to do when they got a boss breathing down their neck? The public schools want to start school later in the day because we don't want poor little junior to get up out of bed in the morning. They won't do quite as well. Well, if they turn their stupid computers off and they got to bed at a decent hour and they didn't watch TV till 10, 11, 12 o'clock at night, they could get up. And by the way, it'd do them good to get up and work a full day. Was they got up and did chores before they went to school. Now, you got to be careful what homework you give them, because little junior might be too stressed to do his homework. Well, I found stress if I didn't do my homework. I won't talk about what part of the anatomy got stressed, but it was pretty stressed and stretched. Now, may I say on God's behalf, you don't need to give up because you have problems. I watch more Christians give up because they have problems. Oh, God just doesn't love me. I have a problem. Yeah, you got a problem. Go look in the mirror. And you think you have a problem. God's got you. Wait a minute. We humans get like my dog. Don't get mad at me here. Hey, it was the best illustration I could think of. I do not let my dog in the kitchen, period. It can go in any other room in the house, but it's not going in my kitchen. I don't want her nose in the kitchen. I don't want her paws in the kitchen. And she tries every chance she gets to go in the kitchen. Say why? Because she's a beagle. Her nose gets ahead of her. She'll stand at the edge and she'll stick her head over, but she's not got her feet inside. You're pushing it, chick. The other day I looked and she had her front paws about that far into the kitchen. I looked at her, yeah. She went back like this. Well, after the second, yeah, she came in a little farther. I looked at her, the ears went down, tail went down. She couldn't get out of the kitchen fast enough. Say, what'd you do? Walked around the corner, whacked her a little bit. That is about like that. I said, don't you even think about it. Boy, she walked away and plopped her down, looked at me. She came back over after we sat down, put her paws right to the edge. Put her hands on her head on her paws like this and just looked. And my girls were going, aw. I said, yeah, she is so bad to the bone, it's not even funny. Yeah. Just looking at me. You're like my dog. A little pressure comes, a little problem comes, and you just want to pout and drop your ears and drop your tail and tuck and run. Now, wait a minute. God doesn't want us to be weak. Can I tell you how you get strong? You carry a heavier load than you can carry before. You don't get strong by carrying the same load all the time. You get strong by adding pressure and adding weight to it. Everybody understand that? So for you to get stronger as a Christian, God has to give you more pressure so that you can take it a little farther down the road. You know, the problems I face at 49 years old are a whole lot bigger than they were when I was 13. You say, why? Because God expects me to carry a bigger load. And God wants you to carry a big load. Sometimes I hear Christians all the time, well, God just must not like me. It just seems like I got so many problems. God must think you're worth getting strong. But you want to tuck and run away. Hang in there. God doesn't want you to buckle under. God said he wouldn't give you more than you can handle. First time I did 200 pounds on the bench, that assistant pastor pulled that bar off and dropped it on my chest and said, just let it sit there. I'll hold it. I'm thinking, do you know how much trust I don't have in you right now? He set that bar down on my chest and he said, just let it rest there. He said, now put your hands on the bar like you're going to push it up, but don't push. Don't put any pressure on it. He said, and as I let off pressure, he said, keep the same amount of weight on your chest. And as he let go, I barely pushed it all. I mean, just ever so slight. He said, that's all the pressure you have to have. Rest. He said, I'm going to watch my watch for 30 seconds. Hold it there. Thinking, okay. Soon as he counted 30, he said, now push it. I said, man, that's not so bad. He was getting me to the point where I could trust it. But he actually set the weight down on me before I trusted it. Because it's not natural to have 200 pounds sitting on your chest. There is nothing normal about that. But I remember him doing that clear as day. Can I tell you something? But you've got to add, I didn't start with 200 pounds. I had to start much lower and work myself up to where I could get to that point. You don't start with 200 pounds. You start with, it's amazing how many people can't lift 100 pounds. Yeah. Man, I was on tour with a group from college one time. We were up in northern Illinois. And I'll never forget it. Brother Petrick up in northern Illinois. The guy was a monster. He's 70 years old. He did 100 push-ups every morning and 100 push-ups every night on three chairs. He put his feet on one chair, put a hand on this chair, hand on that chair, and he would dip down below the chair and do 100 push-ups nonstop. He was an animal. I'm telling you, I didn't want to mess with him. I was in my early 30s and said, don't fool with him, fellas. He's an animal. He said, come on, Brother Bush. He said, you do some lifting, don't you? I said, a little bit. So he was trying to get, it's okay. Yeah, everybody's fine. Well, everybody but one. It'll be all right. Now, look at me here. I remember getting these college boys out there. He'd say, Brother Bush, he said, warm up. I said, throw about 150 on there. I threw 150, did a couple reps. I said, throw another 20 on there and did a couple more. I said, all right, put 220 on there. And I got it up. I said, put 10 more on, and I did 230. These college boys, you know, oh, yeah, the old preacher, he's not going to outdo me. I said, drop it down to 150. No, go ahead and put 200. I said, drop it down to 150. You know, not one guy on tour could do 150. We kept dropping weight. I think one got 100 pounds up once. I didn't have any more trouble with those guys during the whole trip. See, you guys are a bunch of softies. I said, Brother Petrick, don't embarrass me in front of all these boys. He put 230 on there. He's going, gee, 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 gee. I said, quit that. It was crazy. Now, wait a minute. God doesn't want you to start with that. He wants you to start slow, but build weight a little at a time to get that strength. But to get stronger, you're going to have to add weight. And to get stronger, you're going to have to add problems. You're going to have to add tragedy. You're going to have to add heartache to your life. Did you know the older you get, the more problems you get? Getting old's not for the weak. Getting old's not for the feeble. You got to be tough. Did you know the older you get, the more people you recognize that die? When I was a kid, man, I heard about people dying, but it didn't make any sense. I've lived enough life to know that, you know what? The more people I know, the more of them gone. And it happens that way. And tragedy comes. Now, listen to me very carefully. I want to help you so that you're not so focused on the problems that you can't make it through the problem. I want you to be able to make it through the problem and not faint, God says. So, number one, I hate that clock. Difficulties come to everyone. They don't have to overwhelm or overtake you. Let me say this again. Problems, difficulties come to everyone. They don't have to overwhelm. They don't have to overtake you. Did you know you can't prevent all problems in life?
Right.
Now, I don't know about you. I prevent as many as I can.
Yes.
But I can't prevent them all from coming. They happen. When the phone call came 3 weeks ago from Rhonda Craig, she said, Preacher, she said, my husband just passed away. I said, Rhonda, what are you talking about? She said, my husband just passed away. I said, Rhonda, stop. I was in my truck. I said, what are you talking about? She said, my husband, Ray, he was just in a truck accident this morning and died. And it took three times before it stayed inside my head. I've been in the ministry a long time. That's the first time it's hit me like that. I said, you're kidding. She said, no, she wasn't weeping. She was just as calm as Rhonda always is. And I thought, okay, are you at home? She said, yes. I said, my wife and I'll be there in just a little while. She said, okay. I was glad I had to make one stop and I had to call my wife. I had to pick her up. It took me just a little while to get my head wrapped around that thing. I wasn't doing as well as she was with it, I'll promise you, at first. Now, I can't tell you that I was all, I didn't fall apart, but it just wasn't going in and staying. I had just talked to him two or three days before. He had helped us move out of the old building, helped us load chairs. He drove the bus that morning. I was like, no, not Ray. I had just texted him the day before. He said, that morning, he said, Preacher, he said, past three churches prayed for you and Brother Josh. Whew. Man. Now, wait a minute. I'll be honest with you, that was a heavy load. Within 24 hours, my wife's grandmother passed away. And within hours from that, the Avalar family in Lexington, a girl that goes to college with my daughter, a dad and three brothers of a girl that she goes to college with were killed in an accident. And mom, grandma, and a sister were badly injured. Mom and the sister are still barely making it and in almost 100% medical care right now. I got the picture of Brother Fugit's church with four caskets lined up across the front. That was all within 2 days. Then Memorial Day, word comes that a friend of ours, Stephanie, who's down to help Rhonda with the death of Ray, her 23-year-old son, walked into the room, pulled the gun out, and shot himself. I'm thinking, okay, when the phone rings, I don't want to hear it. I'm getting tired of this, God. Can I tell you something? God needs us to get toughened up. He's getting us ready for a heavier load. He's getting us ready for a heavier load. I don't understand it all. Then the phone rings and it's Mrs. Lopez. Mrs. McCormick took herself off all of her meds for her cancers and they called hospice in on a Wednesday. The hospice nurses told her husband she won't live the night. 10 days later, she was in church on Sunday morning. And she's still doing all right. Fred, they told you, what, 7 months ago, you're supposed to have been dead? Yeah, he can't follow. He said he didn't get the memo, and I said, no, but you almost got the certificate. Toe tag. But God's just done some miraculous things. And I can't explain it. But can I tell you something? God wants you to carry a heavier load so that you can make it to the next level. He doesn't want you to cave in. Now, difficulties come to everybody. Most problems in life are not the judgment of God. Quit listening to charismaniacs. Just because you got a flat tire doesn't mean God hates you and God's judging you for your sin. And just so you know we say it, and I've said it too, but I don't think the devil thinks you're that big of a target that he gave you a flat tire. Did you know that lost people get flat tires too?
Yes.
Sometimes it's just the fact that you got a flat tire, or two, or three, or four. You know, decide before the problems come that you're not going to give up when the problems do come. Brother Max, you know what I'm talking about. I decided 27 years ago when I jumped into the ministry full time, when the problems came, I wasn't going to jump out of the ministry.
Amen. Amen. That's
good. I've been through church battles. I've been through doctrinal battles. I've been through more stuff than I even want to talk about. Can I tell you something? I'm not giving up.
Amen.
I'm just not doing it. Can I tell you something? Sinners sin. There's going to be problems. You don't get mad at the hospital because you go there and there's sick people there. You say, preacher, that's where sick people are supposed to go. And churches are full of sin-sick people. That's where they're supposed to go. And when you have sin-sick people, guess what? Some of them don't make it. Some of them cause troubles. Did you ever go in the hospital and hear somebody, oh, and they're screaming and hollering? Sounds like a church, doesn't it? And guess what? Some of them pass away. They can't help all of them. Guess what? That's what a church is like. It's going to happen. Get used to it. That's what church work's all about. Amen. Preachers are weird. We work real hard to get more problems so that we have bigger problems. We're the only people in the world that work harder at getting more problems. Can I tell you something? I just decided a long time ago that no matter the problem, I was going to make it through.
Amen.
Problems don't come because God hates you.
Right.
Just because you got the flu and vomited in the commode doesn't mean God hates you. It means you got the flu. I know people, oh, God's judging me. You're a sinner. Lost people get the flu and throw up too. Now, you're not a bad person because there's problems. Can I tell you something? Quit judging God based on how you think as a human being. We humans would do that to other humans. God does not do it that way. God reigns on the just and the unjust. God sends those things to everybody, and he even takes care of the people that hate his guts. Like the president. Number one, difficulties come to everyone. Number two, there is abundant grace available no matter how bad it appears. 2 Corinthians 4, I love this. Look at verse 15. For all things, notice that little term there, all things. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might, through thanksgiving, redound to the glory of God. Man, I love that. I'm about to shout. Did you know that God has more grace than you have problems?
That's right.
He said it's abundant. He said there's more of it than you could ever use.
That's right.
Amen.
Can I tell you something? It doesn't matter how bad it gets. God's got enough grace to take care of it.
Amen.
Hey, God's got enough grace to take care of a Rhonda Craig and get her through the death of her husband.
Amen.
She texted me today. She said, preacher, she said, for the first time, I got to sleep most of the night. She said, it's been a good trip. I got to sleep for the first time all night. She said, I still have times where I cry and miss Craig Ray a lot, but I got to sleep all night. I said, you're going to make it. You're going to make it. You're going to make it. Thank God for that. Can I tell you something? Yeah, she still hurts, but look at the grace of God. She went to go help somebody else who lost a son. Wow. She's having fun witnessing to people. She's more concerned about people getting saved. That's called the grace of God, folks.
Amen.
Ray died on Wednesday. On Sunday, she was in church and won two teenagers to Christ right there during the service. That's called the grace of God. You know, grace does not come to keep you from having problems. It comes because you have problems. Do you know what the worst part about needing grace is? The problem that causes you to need grace. It's like a miracle. Everybody wants a miracle, but you don't want to go through the process of needing a miracle. It stinks to need a miracle. And may I say this, it stinks to need grace. But can I tell you something? When you need it, it's there.
Amen.
It's there. I can hear old brother Roloff now. When sin-stricken, burdened, and weary, from bondage I'd long to be free, there came to my heart this sweet message, my grace is sufficient for thee. Well, my grace is sufficient for thee. Yes, my grace is sufficient for thee. In shady green pastures or on that lost sea, my grace is sufficient for thee. Can I tell you something? I don't care what trouble you're going through, God's grace is sufficient for you. God's grace is there. I don't care how bad, how dark, how stormy. It doesn't matter. God's grace is sufficient for you.
Amen.
Number three, and I'll hurry. We must renew our spirit day by day in order not to faint. Look at verse 16. Some of you ought to mark this verse. For which cause we faint not. But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed. Watch this. Day by day. Day by day. Can I tell you something? You need to work on your spiritual life day by day. You need the food and the nutrition of God's word day by day. I hope someday that many of you will read through your Bible in a year. But let me say this, I'd rather have you read your Bible day by day and get something out of it and not get through it in a year than to read it through in a year and get nothing out of it. I understand that. Now, I as a preacher should be reading it far more than just once a year, just so you know. I was researching one word this week. I read the books of Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1st, 2nd Thessalonians, 1st, 2nd Timothy, Titus, Philemon, 1st, 2nd Peter, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, James, and Jude in one day. I read 2/3 of the New Testament in one day. That was just to research one word. That was on top of my regular Bible reading. These liberals get up and say, well, yeah, there's these expository preachers. Well, I never read through the Bible in a year. It's just so rich, I can't get through it all. Good night. Why don't you go out and get an honest job? Tell me you're a man of God and can't read through the Word of God once in a year. What do? Play golf 3 days a week? Play tiddlywinks? You need the food and the nutrition of the Word of God day by day. Can I tell you something? You need to read your Bible every day. You say, preacher, I read it, but it just doesn't make sense. Keep reading it.
Yes, sir.
You ask the Holy Spirit to teach you something, and you read it, and you read it, and you read it, and you read it. I'll promise you, eventually, it's going to start getting through that old thick head.
Yes,
it will. Read it daily. Can I tell you something? Don't miss church.
Amen.
Come to church, hear the preaching, and then go back and read your Bible. It'll start making more sense.
Amen.
Don't miss Sunday school. Memorize the Word of God. Memorize scripture verses. I love on the bus route. Brother Stoltz has the kids memorize Bible verses. My daughter had one all printed out on a poster thing while Brother Stoltz is gone, teaching them to memorize a verse. Memorize scripture. Good night. One day I realized I started quoting scriptures as preachers are preaching. I'm quoting them while they're reading them. It took me about two months to figure out how many verses I had memorized. I've memorized over 5,000 verses in the Bible. and I've never really tried to memorize them all. I've just read the Bible so much, I'm so familiar with it, I can just sit there and just start ripping them off. Can I tell you something? When I get in trouble and I got a problem, verses just start coming. I mean, they just start flying. Say, what is that? I've put them in so that God can use them when he needs them in my life. Think about the Bible. Some of you think about television too much. You know, in a 30-minute news program, 29 minutes of it is worthless. Literally. I've gotten to the point where I just about don't watch news anymore other than to watch the weather and figure out whether the guy's lying or not. You know, there's very little good talked about in news. It's all negative. Who's raped this person? How many people been shot and killed here? And what crime here and crime here and crime here and crime here? In a 30-minute news program, you might get one positive story, and the rest of it is all negative. No wonder you go to bed freaked out. So all you do is sit there and pump your head full of negative news. You read the journal, that's enough to make anybody go sideways. There's nothing good in there. They can't even get the date right half the time. Now, wait a minute. You need the fellowship of prayer daily. You need to read your Bible daily, but you need the fellowship of prayer. Now, listen to this. That doesn't mean you got to call somebody and say, pray with me. No, your fellowship ought to be with him. I pray for you. There's often, you'll get a text from me or something. I'll say, I'm praying for you. I've prayed for you. About 4:45 this morning, I was praying for a bunch of preachers that I pray for every week on Sunday morning, and I'll text about 20 preachers or so, told them what I'm praying for. 4:45 this morning, I sent that text out. You say, why? Because none of them usually are awake. I no sooner hit send and my phone buzzed, it was one of the other preachers, and he said, Brother Bush, I thought I'd beat you up this morning. Then the next text was, LOL, guess not. we just try to, and by the way, we don't gossip, I just encourage. That's all it's for, it's to encourage them. Get ready for a Sunday and see what God does. I couldn't tell you how many they're running in church, but my phone was buzzing all afternoon. My wife will tell you about preachers telling me how many visitors they had in church, how many people got saved today, and we're all excited about visitors, and they've had this many people. One church up in Brother Rick Walters said he had 18 visitors. It's their 37th or 39th anniversary of the church and had a whole bunch of people saved. Bless God, I'm happy for him. But he ain't going to beat us next week. We're going to beat him. Amen. I get excited that they're excited about church growth. Isn't that what it's all about? Amen. You need to talk to God as your friend. You need that fellowship. Some of it, if you talk to God more than you talk to some other person, you'd have a better spirit. Ouch. I loved it. I picked Dr. Anderson up at the airport. We were coming back. We were talking about some things. And he looked at me, he said, Preacher, isn't it a shame? I said, what's that, Doc? He said, isn't it a shame you only got God to talk to? Isn't it a shame that when you got problems, you only have God to go to? Isn't it a shame that when you have a need, you only have God to go to? Isn't it a shame? He just starts grinning. I said, I'd rather have him than anybody else. He said, you're one of the few. He said, most people don't enjoy God that much. He said, these preachers, they all know each other's problem. He said, you know, I've got to force it out of you. He said, I think I'm going to like your church. And he did. I wouldn't tell him how much our property was going to cost us. He said, how much are you getting this for? I said, Lord gave us a good deal. He grabbed my arm. He said, young man, listen to me. He said, tell me how much. I said, all right. Say, why did you do that? Because I didn't bring Doc Anderson here to get any money out of him. Brought him here because he's a man of God that I wanted you to hear. I didn't want him to think we were after anything. By the way, I wasn't. We invited him here before we knew we were going into a building program. Literally. Now, so you need that fellowship of prayer. I'm going to say this. Did you know you need the exercise of soul winning? You know, you don't keep your body healthy if you don't do anything.
Right.
Did you know you don't keep your spirit healthy if you don't do anything? You got to tell people. Now, some of you are getting physically to where you can't do as much, but if you go to the doctor, you can share it with the doctor. You can share it with the nurses. Good night. My dad shares it with the mailman. They come to his house and he gives them stuff. They come with stuff that they want to sell to my dad. They leave with gospel tracts. I'm not kidding. They everybody that knocks on that door knows you go there, they're going to invite you to church. I love it. Isn't that what it's all about? You might not physically be able to get up and around as much, but you can talk to everybody that you talk to. You got enough strength to go to the restaurant. How about the waitress? Ouch. This is all done so that you can face burdens. Can I tell you what happens? Problems come and you quit reading your Bible. Problems come and you start getting mad at God and getting grumpy on God, so you quit talking to him like you do your husband or your wife. And then you quit your soul winning. And then you quit going to church. And then you wonder why God hates you. God doesn't hate you. He's just waiting on you to do what he wants you to get strong enough to be able to push that weight. Well, God could have prevented it. God could prevent a lot of things, but welcome to life. You reap what you sow. Did you know that everybody's going to die someday? Everybody. I don't like facing that fact, especially my own. I don't mind dying. I just don't want the process. I really don't. But do you know that everybody's got to face it? We're not guaranteed to get home tonight. I'm praying for the rapture. I want to go to the upper taker, not the undertaker. Amen. I'm not afraid to die, but if I don't have to, I don't want to. I'm not afraid of heights. I'm a little afraid of the dark, you know. Don't put 6 foot of dirt over top of me. No, I won't be there. Can I tell you something? Let me show you what I mean, and I'll be brief with this. Give me just about 3 minutes. I knew a man named Jeff Jones. Jeff went to South Carolina, Columbia, South Carolina, to start a church. Jeff got there, and he was spending a couple weeks getting ready to open up a church. Jeff got sick, went to the doctor. The doctor sent him to a specialist. The specialist sent him to another specialist, and in less than 6 days, he was in the hospital. And he had one of the most advanced cases of leukemia they'd ever seen. Jeff had 3-4 kids. I don't remember exactly how many at that time. Here's a young man, fresh out of Bible college, getting ready to start a church, and he's facing death. And I don't mean to be crude, but Jeff was about my size. Jeff's skin, his skin turned like the color of an avocado on the outside, the skin of an avocado. When you went to see Jeff, you had to go, he was in a special room where all of the ventilation, each room had its own ventilation. He was so susceptible to germs that there was an independent ventilation system in each one of these rooms. You'd go in and they would gown you up. You would stick your hands in a machine that would sanitize your hands. You'd stand there and have to glove up. Then they gowned your face up. And then you could go in and talk to him for a few minutes. I went in and prayed with Jeff, and he said, "Preacher," he said, "pray for me." He said, "I'm going to get this church started before I go to heaven." I said, "Jeff," I said, "I think you need to concentrate on getting well." He said, "Nope, God called me here to start a church. I'm going to start a church." I said, "How are you going to do it?" He said, "We're supposed to start in 2 weeks." He said, "If I'm in the hospital, I'm going to preach from my hospital bed." Young man had 17 people or 20 people in his hospital room that Sunday morning. Doctors, nurses. He sat on his bed and preached and had I don't know how many doctors and nurses saved. God started healing him. He preached every Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night from his hospital bed. He got out, started his church in a building. Most of those doctors and nurses started coming. About a year and a half later, he was doing fine, contracted it again, And this time it took his life. Went through the same process. You know, he didn't let cancer even stop him. He said, I came here to do something. I'm going to do it. I remember being at his house with his newly widowed wife and daddyless children. Little David must have been 4 or 5 years old. I was at the house and he said, Brother Bush, my daddy's in heaven. He can't play with me. Would you be my daddy today? Now, if that don't rip your guts out, you don't have a heart. I went, I said, buddy, I could never be your daddy, but I'll sit here and play trucks with you. I sat on the floor and played trucks with a little boy whose daddy was in heaven. I said, I couldn't be your daddy. Your daddy's a far greater man than I. Nobody could ever take the place of your daddy. Don't you ever forget that, boy. Can I tell you something? I didn't understand it, but God does. God does. I'm going to tell you something. As our church grows, we're going to get more problems. We're going to have heavier hearts. But that means we're a hospital. That means we're getting more patients. That means we're going to have some emergencies. And we're going to grow. Did you know when you grow, you have growing pains? My waist is hurting more than, I mean, I know why your back hurts the older you get. Because the more goes out front and it's pulling you over. Got to work on that, amen? Can I tell you something? As our church grows, we're going to face some opposition. We've already faced some opposition. It's okay. God's doing it so that we can reach more people. That's all it is. Well, I know somebody and they were my best friend and they're not here anymore. Maybe they're not even in church anymore. Well, don't you give out. They did. You don't have to. Just because somebody else petered out doesn't mean you need to. You know how many preachers I know that have fizzled out? I don't give a rip. I don't care what the last name is. Just so you know. I didn't get in the ministry for them. I'm not getting out because of them. God called me, not them. I'm not a mama called, papa sent preacher. God called me into the ministry. And that's just the way it's got to be. Can I tell you something? But you got to renew yourself day by day. Get in that book. Stay in church. Pray. Go soul winning. Do the things God said. Can I tell you something? That'll give you the strength so that when the problems come, grace can kick in a whole lot faster. Amen. By the way, he says, the God of all grace be with you. Whew. He is the God of all grace. If you ever need it, it's there. It's abundant, flowing over. You'll never use it up. It's all there. You just got to get through it. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Don't focus on the problem. Let that problem rest on your chest. And you get that grace and that strength needed. You get through it. Don't fight it. Don't fight it.